Yeah, I'm telling you what now, that's some good stuff right there. And I sit there and think, I'm going to try to preach my hands in my pocket, but that ain't going to happen. I couldn't even stand right there with my hands in my pocket. That's good stuff. That's worth a shout. That's worth raising our hands for. What do you do when you raise your hands? You get up at a football game. Woohoo! You know? That's just showing the emotion that is in me. That is showing the joy that God has put in my heart. That shows that He is greater than any problem we can have in this world. That's exciting. I pump my fist when I catch a big bass. But I pump my fist when Jesus stirs within my heart. Last night as I was prepared, God is just awesome. As Regina's testimony was, He never ceases to amaze. We've talked about how He works there's no coincidence in what He's done. The confirmation that He shows us. And when I'm preparing last night, I'm excited about what I'm going to see this morning, what I'm going to participate in this morning, what's going to be revealed to me this morning is God's plan for this service here this morning. And it goes on everywhere. God's not just the God of Drift Run Church. Okay, we got to remember that. This goes on in all churches throughout the world that are seeking Him. And I was thinking, what am I going to see? My sermon topic today is freedom. Freedom, something we take for granted, something that we think we have more of than we actually do in this world today. But as I was thinking about that, do you remember what the first song that Tony sang this morning, that the congregational song? He set me free. I got confirmation right out the gate this morning. He set me free. So we're on the right track today talking about freedom. In the first overhead we sang, I need you. There was a line, where you are, I am free. He's talking about Jesus. Where Jesus is, I am free. Is Jesus in your heart this morning? You are free. You are free. And we got a lot of scriptures to go over. So I'm going to start out with telling you just, as many listen to Praise FM, I talk about it all the time, but then I listen to it at work all the time. And there's this one little skit they got. It's talking about him and another fella is going through a prison and said, the president has pardoned all these guys. And the first one, he says, won't you just accept the pardon? You can get out of there. And the first guy says, there is no president. Have you ever seen a president? I've never seen a president. So he wouldn't accept the pardon. The next guy walks by, and the guy in jail says, doesn't my cell look real nice and neat? Everything's in the right place where it should be. He says, won't you accept the pardon? Well, I don't need a pardon. I've done good enough. So he goes on. The next guy says, and this fella, he's waiting for his pardon to come from the king of the ocean. He said, well, there is no king of the ocean. I know that. But he says, there's the king of the ocean. So that's all the excuses that we talk about in this world today, receiving the pardon. And the guy went on to say, all I can do is tell him, Claire, what you was talking about today, all you can do is tell him. But that gave me confirmation on the sermon topic of freedom. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 21. While we're turning there, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're humbled to come together here this morning at Drift Run Church, Lord, this building that you have provided. But we thank you, Lord, that the congregation is saved by grace through your shed blood and the opportunity that we can come together in freedom and in truth and worship you. And we ask, Lord, here this morning that you guide us through your word here today, Lord, that it may be proclaimed freely among us, that you'll move upon us with your Holy Spirit, and that all those that are stirred this morning will respond with what you have laid on their heart, Lord. We pray for those who couldn't be here, traveling, sickness, whatever it might be, Lord. We ask for a visit to them, Lord, this day. And again, I ask for you to forgive me, get me out of the way, Lord. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, amen. Okay, again, chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, going to read verses 12 through 21. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." He's referring to Adam. Verse 13 says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Verse 15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one so many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness and eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And the purpose for reading that was for us all to realize that we're all born in bondage by Adam's sin. It is passed down. You can say, "I didn't choose to be a sinner." That's right, but you are. A note I wrote, sin is not injected by Satan. Okay, we're born with sin. Satan didn't come along and make us sinners. We were born sinners. We got to understand that. We got to comprehend that before we can comprehend what freedom is, what real freedom is. And as you've heard, it's through Jesus Christ, but we're going to go more into that. The note there was about our rebellious nature that was talked about this morning. I think you talked about that, Greg. We all have a rebellious nature to stand against. Usually right out of the gate, it's against what mom and dad tells us. I remember the older I got, they say, the older I get, the smarter my parents were. Yeah. That was from a rebellious nature that I was born with. I didn't just one day laying there in the crib decide, "I'm going to be a sinner." We don't have to, you know, nobody has to teach us that. We're just born that way. So we got to realize our selfishness, Satan's deceptions, addictions, money, things that control us, things that got us by what we call, what is that, the nape of the neck? Yeah. I remember Dad one time grabbed me by the shirt collar, drug me across the floor because I punched right in the gut. And I passed out. But that was a result of my rebellious nature. I showed this Wednesday night. The Constitution of the United States says its only keepers, the people. How many's read that? Hold your hand up if you've ever read the Constitution. Okay. I look at us as a country, as a people, as shame on us. There's a place in there on the 17th day of September. It's supposed to be taught in school. That day, the whole curriculum is supposed to be on the Constitution. But that's neither here nor there. The point I wanted to read is just one note from James Madison. And he said, a well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people. Okay, that's speaking in the physical sense. And I thought, man, if people would just seek the Word of God, we really don't have a clue what freedom is till you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay. So going from there, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And keep in mind, as I read this, that it's Isaiah prophesying about Christ. Okay? So you could sort of put this in red letter, because this will be like Christ speaking. Verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I was thinking right there, that's what Christ came to teach us, to show us, to share with us, to instruct us how to be free, how to remain free. Okay, going on. John chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 31 through 36. Says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33 says, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And they're saying, why are you saying that? We've never been in bondage. Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth a sin is the servant of sin. So we already know that right there means everyone. Everyone. So he's telling them, you have been in bondage. If you ever sinned, you have been in bondage. So we got to realize why we read that first part. Through Adam, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are in bondage of sin. Verse 35 says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, I looked up the descriptions in the original languages, and in verse 32, this is Christ speaking. Now remember, this is Christ speaking when he says free. And in the original language, that means to be delivered. Remember that. That means to be delivered. If you go down to the next verse, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And in the Greek, that word free means free from restraint. Okay, so the difference being to be free, to be delivered in the spiritual sense, and to be restrained is in the physical sense. We got to remember. See, they was looking at it physically. And that's what a lot of the world looks at freedom as physically. But man, we got to realize in a spiritual realm that we have been delivered from the bondage of sin, from what ties us down, from what keeps us from work of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. We got to realize the freedom that we have, or if you're not saved, that you could have. Let's look to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, going to read verses 24 through chapter 8, verse 2. Powerful, powerful scriptures right here. Romans 7, verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am. Can you say that this morning about yourself? We got to humble ourselves. Talk about that nature that we're born with. Realize that we all are of sin. Sin separates us from God. That makes us a wretched man. Paul says right there, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And we talked about that situation on Wednesday night about the Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit from God that is God, and then our spirit of flesh. So that's a struggle that he's talking about right there. We're born as a wretched man with a spirit of selfishness. And he's talking about the Spirit of God that come to save us, to come to free us from that bondage of sin that we have bound ourselves up with. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Got to realize the freedom that's just been talked about right there. Oh, wretched man that I am. The wretched man that I am deserves eternity in hell, deserves a total separation from God. But through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ, we are free from that. We got to live like that, Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you can live like that. The opportunity lies here before you this morning that you can come right up here and you can be free from that bondage of sin that holds us back, that controls us through many material things in this world that don't mean nothing, that is going to fade away. We can be free from that. I remember, man, I call it chasing my tail back in the day. When I thought that was going to make me happy. I thought that was going to make me happy. I thought that was going to make me happy. I thought that was going to make me happy. Sometimes it did for a short time. But most of the time it leaves me disappointed. It left me wanting for more. To go a little farther. They say that happens with drugs. You try a little one and you want another one to make you a little more happy. And you keep going and keep going till it totally controls your life. And it affects you and it affects your family, all those around about you. You can be free from that today through the blood of Jesus Christ, through salvation, through Jesus Christ. That's good stuff, people. That really is. That really is. That's it up there. That's the Word of God. That's the truth that'll make you free. You shall be free indeed. I wrote a note down here about after I was talking about the Sunday school lesson Paul was teaching in Ezekiel. And he was talking about Ezekiel was free to be bold, free to go tell him. And that reminded me of the pardon. All I can do is tell him. All I can do is tell him. You're free to tell him. You're free to be bold. You can walk up to the guy pumping gas on the other side and tell him Jesus loves him. You can do that. Nobody can throw you in jail for that. But if they do, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You will. It'll be a blessing that we can't comprehend. But we got to remember, folks, when it's all said and done, when everything has faded away from this life, whenever we took our last breath, we went to a friend of Debbie's. There she lay, Christian woman, man, cancer, just her body was bad shape. But her husband could stand there with a smile on his face because he knew where she was at.
Amen.
He knew she was experiencing real freedom, the freedom that we can experience here, but we'll never know the full extent of it till we're in the presence of the Lord. I was thinking the other day about this exact thing, about when the rapture happens. The instant the rapture is when we're called out. If you don't understand what that is, it's in Thessalonians. When you're called out, it says the church, he'll call the church out and gather with them in the clouds. You'll meet our Savior in the clouds. And I was thinking in that instant right there, that instant when I'm flying through the sky, leave this body behind, I'm going to experience real freedom. Freedom to throw my hands in the air when I want. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about Jeff flying up over there saying, hey, look at Jamie, he's goofy. No, I'm going to be so focused on Jesus Christ, I don't care who's looking at me. It's about our spiritual freedom, folks. We've got to be free. We've got to live free. We've got to respond free. If we're not doing justice for Jesus Christ. We're not doing him any good for what he's done for you. Man, he is worth a shout once in a while, don't you think? He is worth an effort to slip somebody a $5 bill. Just, it's not all about standing up and shouting in church, folks. It's about living life as a Christian. Every day, we're free to do that. Nothing can touch this in here. Satan wants to defeat us. He wants to make us all look bad. You watch the news, you know, you think, oh my gosh, the news. There is no place that we can have true news other than the Word of God. Be still and know that I am God. We have the freedom to do that. We have the freedom to keep our mouths shut and focus on Him and Him alone. Put our full trust and faith in Jesus Christ and know that God is God. I want to talk just a little bit about Christian bondage. That don't even sound right. That sounds like, what is that, an oxymoron where you use two words and mean total opposite in the same sentence. Christian, man, you're free. If you're a born again Christian, it says you must be born again. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you are free. Yes, free indeed. The truth shall make you free. Why do we live like we're still in bondage? We need to ask ourselves that. We see that everywhere. Why are we still living like we're in bondage? Let's read real quick Acts chapter 16. Just an example of Christians in bondage. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 19 through 31. Real example, Christians in bondage. And when her masters saw that the hope of her pains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And brought them in the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Verse 22 says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25. Now tell me if these guys act like they are Christians in bondage. Hear what the Word of God says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "I want what they got." Have you heard that before? I want what they got. And verse 31 says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Think of the opportunities that we have to be Christians when we are not afraid of bondage, when we live like we're free. They were chained up. They were bound in a physical way, but there was no spiritual bondage at all. They lived like they were free Christians, like we should live today. And look at the results. That man and his family got saved. Look what something, a little thing you could do when you step out and act like you're not a Christian under bondage. People will say, "I want what he's got. I want what she's got. I want what they have." And you know what? We're free to present Jesus Christ to them right there on the spot. The Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "How am I supposed to know unless somebody tell me?" Philip told him, and he got saved. Man, this world is full of lies. I can't think of my count the number of times in my experience through the years that I was afraid to talk about Jesus because I was afraid it offended people. I've come to realize in the last 10 years, I've seen one person that acted like they was offended a little bit. I think it's a lie from Satan to keep us bound up, to keep us holding the truth within us. Man, you're free to tell it. You're free to live it. You're free to act like a Christian. As they come and get a song, I'm going to hit two more scriptures real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty means freedom. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning? If you ain't saved, I invite you to come right now to experience real freedom in this life. One more, Ephesians 2. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of the grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." He's telling us what our future, what lies ahead in our future. It's good stuff, folks. It's good. We can be free to not worry about what tomorrow brings. Because verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." We are free in Christ. Let's live like we're free in Christ.